This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield. To have a baseline for how many fish is not enough fish, it helps to count the fish. Bonus points for making the numbers consistently, indisputably public. For coronavirus data this week, consistency and indisputability ran low.
Meanwhile, a big change for hospitals. They must now report all coronavirus data directly to the Department of Health and Human Services instead of the CDC. That's the order from the White House. The big difference, the HHS reports directly to the president. Experts are concerned the data may not be made available to the public.
The quiet directive, issued a week ago but first reported on Tuesday, gave healthcare providers only days to prepare for the change. Now their numbers are not bound for the CDC in Atlanta, but for Washington by way of Pittsburgh, where a contractor will do the fussy work of building and maintaining this most crucial of databases.
The company, Teletracking Technologies, will now collect certain data, including bed occupancy, staffing levels, PPE supplies, and more.
Anxieties over the new reporting system grew on Thursday when coronavirus data disappeared from the CDC's website in the morning, but was back online within hours.
The Trump administration briefly removed COVID-19 data coming in from hospitals that's accessible on the website for the Centers for Disease Control. Data that included hospital bed occupancy, staffing, and personal protective equipment supply figures. While the data was later restored, the White House denied it's hiding anything.
CDC Director Dr. Robert Redfield sought to reassure reporters, describing what he saw as a totally valid effort to, quote, dramatically improve and modernize our public health data in America. Just as the pandemic has overwhelmed the American health system, bottlenecks and technological antiquities in our health information infrastructure are bogging down our pandemic response. At the health department in Harris County, which is to say Houston, Texas, the fax machine is at times so overwhelmed that incoming pages just fly out onto the floor. Some Western states are mobilizing the Pony Express. Okay, I made that last part up, but check back next week when it may have come true. Sarah Cliff is an investigative reporter specializing in healthcare at the New York Times. With her colleague Margot Sanger-Katz, Cliff wrote this week about the data backlogs. As one public health official told her, the tools and resources given to public health departments by their government funders have left them feeling like they're on the information superhighway, quote, traveling with a bus pass.
Yeah, so what he was referring to was the fact that we've actually spent as a country billions of dollars over the past decade helping doctors go digital. There was a huge stimulus package during the Obama administration called the High Tech Act that gave out lots of monies to hospitals and doctors' offices to go from paper records to digital records. But public health departments were not included in that stimulus package. So they're left with this bus pass. They're left with the fax machine, while some of their colleagues in the private sector have had a lot of money to get digital systems up and running.
What else are health officials struggling with tools from previous epochs?
They are really struggling with incomplete data. So even when they do get things sent to them electronically or emailed, often they say it's missing the patient's address, or the patient's name is spelled wrong, or their age isn't there, or their phone number isn't there. All these details that aren't that important to a medical laboratory. The medical laboratory just needs to figure out, is it positive or negative, but are so important to public health departments because they want to contact trace this person. They want to figure out, if it is a positive, who this person has been in touch with. And, you know, you want a phone number to reach the person to ask them those questions. The other thing I'd say they're dealing with is a lot of duplicate records because things are sent by email, by fax, by phone, through electronic systems, and because they come from different actors. They come from hospitals. They come from medical laboratories. They say they get a lot of reports that are duplicates that came in some other channel, and they spend a lot of time just trying to figure out, do we have this report already? And that's time they could potentially be spending on other public health work, like contact tracing.
But the bottom line is that in many spots around the country, there are public health offices with just stacks and stacks of reports, test results, and so on, just sitting there waiting for attention.
Right. I mean, that's what happened in Washington State. The most extreme version of this I heard of was they actually brought in 25 members of the National Guard to assist with manual data entry because they had all these stacks and stacks of paper they needed to go through. You know, since that story ran, I've heard from other health departments who have actually purchased new fax machines since coronavirus started to keep up with the volume of reports they're getting. And that's...
Wait, the solution is more fax machines.
So, I mean, it is not a long-term solution, but in the short term, public health departments are just trying to keep their heads above water. You know, it is the case that there is some money being put at this problem right now. The CARES Act, one of the stimulus packages, did include $500 million for public health departments to digitize. But it's really hard to, you know, start setting up a new electronic reporting system when you're in the middle of a crisis.
I mean, it's not as though the data communications gap has just now reared its head. It's an old complaint. In 2017, a former information technology official at the Department of Health and Human Services told you, quote, if we want to kill the fax, we need to schedule a funeral. Have governments just like crossed their fingers hoping to hold out just a little bit longer before being dragged kicking and screaming into the 21st century?
That official you mentioned, one of his colleagues from the Obama administration, he told me they almost had like a Field of Dreams theory about fax machines. Like, if you build better technology, people will come. If you give people money to digitize, you'll have this great digital exchange of information and people will quit the fax machine, just like you and I did. But it turns out it's not a natural transition in medicine. You have all these competing businesses. Hospitals are businesses who compete for patients, and they don't want to share information. So they don't set up the systems to share with their competitors. And I think that's what that official was saying, that look, in medicine, it's a different situation. If you want to get rid of the fax machine, you're going to have to tell people that's not an acceptable way to transmit information anymore.
There's also HIPAA, right? Privacy concerns that militate against having a universal pool of shared data.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that HIPAA did that turns out to be quite consequential is it defined the types of technologies that are safe for patient data transfer. And one of the ones it gave the blessing to was fax machines. It said it is okay, it protects patient data if you transfer data by fax. Email was not included on the list because this law was passed in the mid-1990s and email was not a common technology. There are secure email platforms, but it is not listed in HIPAA. Doctors often, when I ask them about this, they'll just cite HIPAA saying, look, HIPAA says fax is fine, so we're going to use fax, and that's how we've been doing it. That's how we'll continue to do it.
You spoke to the director of Harris County's Public Health Department, Dr. Umer Shah, who told you, quote, the data is moving slower than the disease. Does Dr. Shah's observation mean that the time delays are also making it pointless even to do corona testing?
It's getting closer and closer to that point. You know, we're seeing the data move so slowly, and some of the data is just literally the test results, which Quest, one of the largest diagnostic laboratories in the United States, they're now saying it takes more than a week for them to turn around coronavirus tests. For a disease with a known incubation period of 2 weeks, we're getting pretty close to the test being a little bit useless. It means that you might have folks who, if they'd had their positive test, would have isolated going out in the community because they're waiting so long for it.
It's not as if nobody has conceived of ways to get around these bottlenecks and to make the data flow more efficient. They've been conceived, floated, maybe even in some cases developed, and then not pursued.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things you see other countries do, and one of the things our country considered doing a number of years ago, was creating unique patient identifiers for each and every person. So essentially, the idea is it's almost like a social security number for healthcare, where anytime you interact with the healthcare system, your number is going to be on the document and that's going to identify it as your medical record. That would be really helpful in a system like coronavirus, because if those numbers were on all these medical labs, you wouldn't have public health workers trying to track down phone numbers and addresses and trying to figure out, is this a duplicate record? Is this patient's name spelled right? You would know from that patient identifier who this belonged to, what their contact information was, and that would help get rid of a lot of the data legwork that's happening. And you see in places like Canada and places like England, they use these patient identifiers without much controversy. HIPAA actually said that the government should create these unique identifiers for all of us, but there were privacy concerns about, well, what would it mean to have this number that IDs us in all our healthcare interactions? And Congress has repeatedly passed legislation to bar the federal government from creating those identifiers. So they don't exist right now. Ron Paul was the first person to campaign against this. His son, Rand Paul, who's now in the Senate, kind of holds the torch at this point. So we don't have those numbers that might help us track data significantly better.
I got to tell you, Sarah, this whole situation reminds me of the Polish army in 1939. I mean, the enemy has tanks and planes. The Poles have soldiers on horseback. Whose fault is this?
You know, for this fact situation, I think it's the failing of years of not investing in public health. You've seen at the federal level, at the state level, at the local level, pretty significant budget cuts and policy decisions made to spend on other things. And a lot of those things might have been perfectly worthwhile. They are education, they are healthcare services, they are all these things that are really critical to our society. And I think public health is very easy to ignore when things are going well. But now we're seeing when there is an outbreak like this and the fax machines are literally overwhelmed, just spitting out paper, you really see the consequences of that lack of funding.
Fax machines, I'll tell you, in my personal investment portfolio, I think I'm going to go long on carrier pigeons.
The Pony Express that you mentioned at the start of this, that might be an intriguing option.
Sarah, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah Cliff is an investigative reporter at the New York Times.